Blog Talk Radio.
Applause is elixir to the ego, and I'm certainly not above that. I'm going to tell you right now, welcome people to She's Raising the Bar, Blog Talk Radio, East Coast, West Coast, all around the town, humbly serving you for the past 8 years, and we will be here until they take us off, so get used to my voice. It's going to be here for a while, but welcome people. Thank you for joining us. Happy solstice, happy Hanukkah. Happy pre-Christmas. We have a couple more days before we celebrate that. And it's been something. It's been a year to reckon with, to say it. And I think I'm probably one of the more optimistic people you'll find. And it's been a test of our resilience, to say the least. And let me introduce myself, if I may. Lori Towers is me. You've heard my voice for the past 8 years, and you've heard different co-hosts, but my recent co-host is on vacation this week, so the lovely Elizabeth Colossos will be missed, but I will be in good company. Don't worry about me being lonely. I will have the lovely Angie Miller on, who's been a guest before. She'll be keeping company in a few minutes, I'm sure. What's interesting about this whole year, and always trying to be leaving the year on a more positive note and grappling for reasons to be positive, and there are many. Many things have happened wonderful this year. We've lost people physically, spiritually, but we've also created alliances where we thought we didn't have any, and people have been brought into our lives. So that's a wonderful thing. And you know, the truth is, this is life in general, isn't it? I mean, this is what usually happens. But in this particular time in our lives, it's life on steroids. So everything has been concentrated. Everything has been intensified and magnified and under a microscope. So this is what this year has been. It's life's usual ups and downs, but times 50. So again, all the natural things have happened. So what I wanted to do was I wanted to make the last month of guests coming on the show to be, I'm a person of health, you know, I have a health and science background. So I wanted to bring people on that would best serve the many layers of health consequences that might be happening. We had Tammy Lee Webb, who everybody knows, Fitness Hall of Fame, Buns of Steel, Abs of Steel, and she's become a very dear friend. She's been on 5 years now, and she'll be on for the first show in the new year. And I wanted her to tackle the physicality of what's been happening with the dynamic change we've had. So she did that 3 weeks ago. Then we had Sonia Marie Romero coming on, who is a nutritionist to the stars. And she came on with these wonderful holiday recipes to keep us as much intact as we can in a climate of overeating and overdrinking. So she came on. Now today, I figured, let me have somebody who is all of that and then the emotional and mental branches that come out of everything that we're seeing as far as personal failings, emotional failings, people devoid of finding their mental and emotional equilibrium. So she's going to come on and try to make sense of what we've been through and how we could handle going into the new year in a better frame of mind, because honestly, it's not just about we're getting rid of 2020, but But we need to be realistic about what we're going into 2021 with. And I think that's the most important thing here. And what brought that to mind actually was the other day, I was going through my memories on social media, as we all do, and I was looking over Glamour magazine in, it had to be December of 2014. Yeah, because I did they asked me for my fitness tips in 2020, so they had contacted me in 2014, and they wanted seven of my fitness resolutions, and I don't know why it was seven. But they asked me for seven. Yeah, it was fine. Glamour magazine is Glamour magazine. I was happy to do it. And I reposted that the other day saying some things don't change, because I was thinking from a fitness standpoint, you know, how my feelings on fitness trends and diets and everything. Then I've had articles in Shape magazine about, I entitled it Recycled Fitness, which is my theory. Nothing's really changed that much, but we just package it differently and we put it out on the shelves and people buy it. And that's pretty much what we do. So that's how I reposted this, my Glamour magazine fitness resolutions for 2015. Then I looked them over and I said, oh my goodness, did I ever misspeak on this? Because I'm looking at it, and as I was saying that things haven't changed, my first one was follow me with where I'm going on this. Get off the train or the subway three stops before you go to work. See where I'm going. Instead of taking the elevator, walk up the steps to work. And that's when I realized, oh, wow, things have changed. The climate has changed. 80% of the population is working from home. So there isn't any getting off a train. There isn't any packing food for, you know. And my thinking was packing food for work is always ensuring quality as well as quantity control instead of running down to the deli and getting stuff that's probably not healthy for you. And then I looked at the rest of the list, and it pretty much was that. And I said, eesh, wow. Me thinking from a fitness standpoint, thinking, you know, nothing's really the same. You know, everybody's going to be gung-ho for diets and the gym and the new year. That's not happening this year. Gyms, for the most part, as with restaurants, have been shuttered. Okay. Mostly people like me, and I'm speaking for Angie and Tammy Lee, we work out at home, we're fine with that. But the rest of the population, okay, what are they going to do? So I realized, I didn't want to take it down, but I realized when I posted that on my page, I think I'm going to, I don't know what I'm going to do. I think I'm going to revisit that and add something to it. I would say irresponsible, but it just certainly showed the sharp contrast from one year to the next. So in saying that, I think I see my lovely guest on. I think I'm going to call her on. Angie, is that you?
It is me. How are you doing, Lori?
How are you? Happy holidays.
I am doing well.
How are you holding up? You are doing well.
I am holding up pretty well, all considering.
Yeah.
How about you?
I'm you know, it's funny. I was just talking about, and I don't know when you came on, if you heard, I was saying I had one of those oh my God moments when the other day I posted on my page, Glamour magazine had asked me to do 2015's seven fitness tips. And I, you know, kind of, ha, 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 there's really no difference. This is going to be the same for this year as it was for last year and 20 years before that. And then I realized that the discrepancy in work, people going to work, people packing for work, people getting off a bus earlier and walking to work, that is no longer part of our landscape. It's no longer part of 2021 going forward. And now, that aside, what I want to talk to you about is New Year's, I mean, I never really liked the holiday. It's, you know, but I've come to like it a little bit more in my older, my adult years. It's, mm-hmm. It creates a lot of pressure to forget about the year before, and everything's going to be better in 2021. Everything's going to be better in 1969. Everything, it's always the next year it's going to be better. And it creates unrealistic expectations. Now, we have this vaccine that is readily available, and as Blue Week, I'm so happy it's there, and it's going to be wonderful, and it is indeed the light at the end of the tunnel. Now, my concern is everybody this year is just so willing to sleep out New Year's Eve just to get it over with, put 2020 to bed and go into 2021, because the vaccine is going to make everything wonderful and everything better and everything different, and our lives are going to go back to normal. That's my concern.
You know, I honestly, I couldn't agree more. I have, mm-hmm. I've never been one who shelves things and says, you know, I'm just going to bide my time on this one because it'll all be mm-hmm. better, you know, when this happens or mm-hmm. that happens. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of that book years ago, that book called The Road Less Traveled. And yes. His first line is, life is difficult. And he basically mm-hmm. says, you know, you can't put problems on a shelf or say once this problem is over, then I'll be happy. Or, yeah. you know, once my kid isn't going through a difficult time, I'll be happy again. Once mm-hmm. I have a better job, I'll be happy again. We just have to find ways to move through experiences, mm-hmm. good and bad, and not expect that a vaccine is going to fix everything. Because through this whole yeah. pandemic, marriages have been affected. Mm-hmm. Relationships have been affected. People's oh, yeah. jobs, their livelihoods have yeah. been affected. It's not going to just pick back up to, quote, normal, because we don't know what normal is anymore.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. That's my biggest concern, because I believe me, I love seeing people optimistic. And people that come up to me, oh, yeah, this is going to be great. It's going to be better. And I have to say, even my husband is just like, okay, we're going to get better. We both play live music. We're both musicians. And I've even heard him saying, oh, you know what? Yeah, probably next year at this time, we'll be back on the stage. We'll be doing this. And to think about the economic destruction that, you know, again, the vaccine is certainly going to help, thank God, save lives, arrest this in some way. Even if the numbers are reduced by 20%, that's really great. But as far as, you know, repairing what has been done, it's not going to be, I'm sure we're always going to see some improvements, but as far as life as we remember being normal, that might not be for some time.
And I think that's, you know, because don't you think that repairing has to start with us as individuals, and then mm-hmm. it becomes more of a collective repair?
Yep. Yep. I agree.
It's like, I think we have to, you know, kind of start with what you said. The foundational element is not make assumptions that one thing mm-hmm. is going to put a quick fix on the world at large, but instead kind of what you're saying, which is it's going to have a dramatic effect. It's going to have a positive impact. But as far as the repair that we each need to make in our own lives, which is really what's affecting us the most, that's kind mm-hmm. of what we have to come face to face with, is where do I start to put my puzzle pieces back together? Because it turns out, you know, the puzzle may not be fitting together the way it used to. We're all feeling yeah. a little off, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And you know what's interesting? I'm sure I'm always fascinated by these new buzz phrases that come up. And I'm sure you know this, but this just came, I found this a couple of weeks ago. And it's called doom scrolling, and I'm sure you know that one.
called what? I don't know that one. What did you say?
Oh, my God. Oh, I feel doom scrolling. And it's people that are on Instagram, Facebook, and they are just scrolling. And again, everything that we're seeing on social media has the tendency to be a little bit more on the negative side, obviously.
Right.
And people are just addicted to this. Now, again, people were addicted to Facebook 2 years ago, last year. But now the consequences are more great because this doom scrolling, and like I said, this is probably something that we're going to be hearing about throughout the next year. People are just attached to it and just looking up negative stuff and getting into fights on Twitter, fights on Facebook, fights on Instagram. And I know personally people that have just engaged in this and it's just the worst thing for you. But that's become the norm. People are home. People are getting their work wrapped up because they're working from home maybe in a couple hours, and people are on social media more. And doom scrolling has become the norm for most people.
Well, it always reminds me of something that I always tell people, and that is focus on what you're focusing on. Because if you're focusing on the negative, you're going to find the negative. You know, if you've decided that today you're upset with your husband, every little thing that he does today or says today is going to be like doom scrolling through your husband's, you know, his every move is going to sit not so well with you. Whereas other days you might have just let it slide, let it ride a little bit. But that makes a lot of sense because I tell people focus on what you're focusing on, because if you're looking for the bad in people, you're going to find bad. If you're looking for the negative in your boss, you're going to find the negative. If you get on social media and you're looking for stuff that sort of, it's sort of like, I think what it is people want to validate their narrative. And so if they're at a bad place in their life, they look for information that validates their narrative. It makes sense that I'm in a bad place because look what's going on in the world.
Yeah. You know, I love the expression, we don't see life as it is. We don't see things as they are. We see things as we are. So we tend to project. I mean, I might look at something totally different than my husband just based on, you know, my wiring as opposed to his. So, I mean, it's natural now. And, you know, the truth is, I think with all of this, you know, the tendency toward misery-loving company is a little bit more magnified because we're all in the same. This is the one time, I think, in our lives. I mean, our grandmothers and great-grandfathers have gone through this before us, but the one time in our lives that we have some sort of collective grievance. So this is all that we're talking about, and some of us are leaning more towards the positive side and trying to say, okay, you know, blah, blah, blah. And a lot of others want to linger in this. And I think that it's become like the battle. It's become a tale of two cities in reality.
Right. I could, yeah, absolutely. And I think that it's kind of a little bit of inherent in who you are as a human, you know, how, what naturally drives your personality and your resilience, because it does have everything to do with resilience. And if you're, you know, I always look at it for where do I have positive control? You know, let's just assume for a minute, you know, if I have this little self-narrative, you know, so let's assume for a minute, Angie, that the world doesn't miraculously correct itself and that the vaccine doesn't miraculously take care of things. Where do I have positive control in my life? What kind of strategies can I put into place that's going to help me move through the world as comfortably as possible in spite of or despite what might be going on around me? Right? Because I can't count on the world to make me happy or to fix me or my world, my insulated world, so to speak. Right.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I think we're at a point in, you know, our climate that we're, you know, all the old things might not be working, like interrupting the bad pattern, interrupting the thought sequence, things that worked maybe last year aren't really working now. And I think that's the scariest part is you can't, I mean, you go back to fighting the old wars. It's like, you know, and again, and obviously you know this, but when I find myself going to a place that might be a little darker than my norm, I try to thought substitute, I try to interrupt that and bring it back. You know, allow yourself to feel that but then bring it back to where you're most comfortable. But that's not working for a lot of people. And I see it in people that I know very well, and they're just not able to pull themselves up by the bootstraps.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a lot of information out there, too, and you worded it well when you talk about thought substituting. But you give yourself, I think people have to give themselves permission to not know how to feel and permission to understand that our feelings are going to dramatically shift from day to day. And it's okay to cry. It's okay to be sad.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay, you know, to have those emotions. But how much are we going to swim in that, you know, sort of cesspool of them, so to speak? After a while, you know, we have to acknowledge them. It makes sense that we all feel a little off our game. And
yeah,
but once we acknowledge them and once we give ourselves permission to feel them, we do have to find some active ways to kind of move ourselves through it. Like you mentioned, you know, whether it's thought substituting or journaling or talking to somebody,
mm-hmm.
Certainly not the doom scrolling, right? Which is just going to validate
yeah.
the narrative that we, you
yeah.
know, we deserve to feel bad. But, you know, my two words are now what? So let's say that you do
mm-hmm.
deserve to feel bad and it is a bad place in this world, but now what?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. Where do you go from here? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I'm thinking about all the industries that aren't doing well and the industries that are doing well. And I would imagine that you have to be able to, in your line of work, you have to be at least able to stay afloat. But forget about the financial end of that. How do you do it? Because, I mean, at the end of the day, you've heard everything. You've heard this person. You've heard that person. You've heard... At the end of the day, how do you keep your sense of center?
Yeah, well, that's a great question, actually. And I have to admit, you know, some days are better than others, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
You know, for me, it's sometimes the smallest thing. This morning I got up, took a shower, put on my makeup, and got dressed right away. I don't often start my day that way. I had incentive.
Really?
I had an appointment that I needed to go to. And I realized, I thought, wow, what a remarkable difference that is, just the fact that I got up. And, you know, some people don't wear makeup. They don't, that's not important to them. But I would say that it's kind of finding that, creating that normalcy. And again, it's that positive control. It was just that little thing of getting up this morning, getting dressed. I'm actually in fitness clothes, but I'm dressed and have on my makeup. And I'm ready to go on a moment's notice. And it's kind of empowering. You know, if I feel like running to the store, I can run to the store. If I feel like going to the gym, I can go to the gym. But just, I think that, you know, it's that. It's also the giving myself permission to feel what I feel. It's also the recognizing that I have limits and being okay with that. You know, when I need to take a lighter client load that week, I do. I set more time aside for myself to... not get lost in work, because I will if I don't. So in other words, like schedule, make sure that my schedule allows for me to pull away from the computer.
Good. And
you know, take some personal care time.
Yeah.
And
well,
you know,
important.
One last thing I would say is just being careful with the shoulds. I mean, I don't think we have a yardstick for how this year is supposed to look. So it can't be the shoulds. You know, my kids should be coming. My parents should be doing this. The holidays should look like that. There's just no shoulds.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing. I think we keep looking at what was, as opposed to, okay, this is all we have. And we don't know what the future is going to be. And I guarantee you, things are going to get better and things will be a lot better than this year was, but we don't know if it's going to be the same. And I think that we have to just be a little bit more flexible in thought and say, you know something, it might not be what it was, but it'll still be better. And that's the only thing we have at this point. Well, and I always say, knock wood, I'm still living like a rock star. People are losing homes. People are losing businesses that they worked 40 years for. So it's hard to say, okay, well, yeah, gung-ho, we're just going to rebuild the farm. It's very hard to say that. But the thing is, people, the human spirit does have a natural resilience. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be talking to me. Our ancestors would not have survived anything. So we do have that. We just have to figure out what's practical, what's realistic, and what's just something that, you know, what's fantasy. I think, and that's the hardest thing, I think, for most people.
Yeah. That makes, yeah, that's so true. Because you're right, there's so many people out there who are totally rebuilding from scratch, and they're not even sure what that's going to look like right now.
Yeah.
So I guess it goes back to, you know, what's, if I look back at my darkest moments throughout my life, or you look back at yours, usually we're testament to kind of knowing that we've hit our we've hit bottom before, and what have we used? Like, what are those tools that we have within us that helps us climb back up? Because it's usually not, it's usually about personality traits and perseverance and resilience that makes us climb back up, right? So less about circumstances and more about what's within us.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's a wonderful point, because most of us, I mean, everybody's had a dark period in their lives, and most of us have hit that. But difference of all of this is most of us haven't hit it at the same time our neighbors are, at the same times our husbands, our spouses, our partners are hitting it, our best friends are hitting a low. So where we had a low water mark and we could walk over to somebody and have a cup of coffee or a martini and say, you know something, this really sucks, blah, 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 they're hitting theirs at the same time. So I think that's, we have that collective grievance that's going on that makes it harder to find a bit more steady footing. I think that's really what all of this is about.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think we're all more vulnerable. We're more, you know, our, I do a lot of speaking on like emotional intelligence, and sometimes, you know, I wonder about our collective emotional intelligence anymore, because we're all sort of caught up in our own stories that we forget that everyone else has a story too. And, but, you know, I have to say, speaking of stories, I do have to say this. You asked me, you know, what I'm doing personally, and I'm actually a pretty private person. I grew up with a very, very almost just extremely private mom. And and I've always been pretty private myself. And I'm really, I always say I'm great at putting on my cape and helping other people, but not so great at being vulnerable. And I tell you, probably one of the greatest things that has helped me through this time is getting more comfortable with my own vulnerability and being willing to expose it. Not from a gratuitous place, but from a place of saying, you know, reaching out to friends, reaching out to siblings, being more, and a lot of times my clients will say to me, well, I can't because everybody's so burdened already. I can't talk to my sister. Her life is already in shambles. And I will say, you know, what if you sharing your story helps validate your sister that she's not alone in hers? And what if we think we're protecting people by not talking to them? But what if we forget that they probably feel it in us anyway? They probably sense it. It's so much of what we don't say that people are sensing. And so we often think we're protecting people by not telling them because we don't want to burden them. But really, we have to really ask ourselves, are we protecting us or them?
We're cut from the same cloth. I do the same thing. Absolutely. Yeah. And the truth is being able to, you know, say, you know, I need help is a wonderful privilege for yourself and the person that you're asking help from, you know, because most people, especially if they don't know you to do that, and I'm thinking most people that, you know, even close friends don't know you to say, well, you know what, I'd love to talk to you. I, you know, I need help. I always laugh and think to myself, who was Mother Teresa's best friend? Who was her, who was on speed dial for her at 3 o'clock in the morning when this chick had problems? Who did she turn to? There was somebody. There might have been two people. But who are these people? With this woman who had this enormous responsibility, and she carried it well for most of her life, who did she turn to? And I think that's important to say that, you know, you're giving somebody a gift by saying, I trust you enough to hear my my frailty, my emotions, things that are, I have conflict with. I think we forget that. And I'm putting myself in the same category because, yeah, I do it all the time.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, the emotions shared, emotions are meant to be shared. And we give mm-hmm. them less power when we give them space. It's when we try to suppress them that they become overwhelming. So when we kid ourselves and say that our friends don't have time or our family doesn't have time, we're just trying this game of suppression. Mm-hmm. And suppression mm-hmm. just amplifies it. It's, that lid on the mm-hmm. boiling pot. It's just going to make them stronger and more powerful. It's like the kid who mm-hmm. wants in the room and keeps banging on the door. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't work that way. So we kind of take their power away by unleashing the beast and sharing a little bit with people and just being able to say, you don't have to fix this. But can mm-hmm. you just sit with me through it?
Yeah. That's beautifully put. That's exactly right. And you know, it's funny because I'm thinking about the last time you were on the show was probably maybe a month and a half ago. And you think about it. I mean, we're living in a time warp. We didn't have, think about the last time I spoke to you, there was no vaccine. There was nothing. And now there is. So you think about how things are moving forward and how quickly we have to embrace and adjust to all of them. And it's really, when you think about it, when we all reflect 10 years from now on everything that happened this year, there's a lot of stuff that we handled well. There really is. I mean, for the most of us, it was like a lot thrown at us and we just kept going. And you don't realize it till after the fact and you're looking over your shoulder like, wow, I ran that marathon. And I think that's what a lot of us are going to be, and hopefully saying, we did a good job and we'll use that for other, other things that we have to shoulder. I hope we use it for that.
Right. And the beauty of how I think we manage this, honestly, mm-hmm. I was mm-hmm. talking with a friend about it the other day and I said, the beauty is that we didn't know. So when COVID first mm-hmm. happened in March, we thought it was going to be, the gym was going to shut for a couple weeks. Then it became a couple months. And the beauty was that mm-hmm. we didn't know. And I always say that's the beauty of life in general, is if you had known half the hardships that were going to come your way, you probably mm-hmm. would have crawled under the covers a long time ago. And so mm-hmm. we did what we're best at, which is to take it one day at a time. And I think we have to remind ourselves, hey, that's kind of the key right there is I didn't know, and yet look how well I did.
Mm-hmm.
And so what if it's okay that I don't know what the future holds? Because maybe it's better that way.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. I totally, because I remember saying to my mother-in-law when she couldn't see my father-in-law in a nursing home, and they were supposed to be closed for about, I think at the time, 2 weeks. And I remember getting the call from the nursing home. I told my mother-in-law, you have to go early because they're going to close today at 3 o'clock, and then it's probably going to be closed for a couple of weeks. And that was March, probably 16th, and it all stopped after that. And we just we kept saying, it's going to be another 2 weeks. And here we are. We're 9 months in. So we did it. And, I think going forward, the fact that we know what we're up against now. So even if we go into the first 6 months of the new year and we still have to wear masks and we still have to do the things that we're supposed to do with a vaccine, without a vaccine, I think we've gone through it all already. So we know the ropes. We know nothing's new anymore. So I think that has to insulate us a little bit.
Right. Exactly. There, we learn things a little bit at a time through our experiences, and it's like climbing stairs. We've climbed mm-hmm. the staircase, and now we have the tools to climb the next stair, and we have to take it one step at a time, right? We were taught these lessons along the way, but they didn't, we weren't expected to jump to the top stair at the beginning of COVID. We just took it one step at a time as each experience came up. We were like, okay, now we have to navigate this. Okay, now we have to navigate this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And like I said, it's just been this most people, I have to say I'm lucky enough to be in a healthy relationship where you could bring out the best in each other. And there's times you get on each other's nerves, but for the most part, you're your wall for each other, and you're just bringing out the best qualities until, you know, this is over. But domestic violence being on the rise and child abuse, it's been so many different things that I think that we need to pay attention to, and that are a byproduct of all this, that we, once all this is settled, we have to look at what happened with all of that.
Oh, for sure. I mean, there is for sure going to be a lot of negative repercussions of what comes away from this. There's, you know, it's kind of like, you know, a lot of times trauma or bad situations keep their doors closed until they can't anymore, until,
mm-hmm.
you know, again, you unleash the beast and you realize what's really been going on in some of these homes. And that's when we just have to assume that, again, we manage that as it comes. But I think that people have to remember that there are people out there willing to help. And it goes back to, you know, don't try to do it alone. Be willing to be vulnerable. You know, try not to assume that maybe this is just the norm. Maybe this is the way it is for a lot of people right now. You know, if your instinct says it isn't right, if your instinct says, you know, that your spouse shouldn't be talking to you that way, or this shouldn't be going this way. Again, I'm using should, which I try not to use should, but you know, generally our instinct is right. And that means that we do need to get some help. We do need to invite somebody else in to help us with this situation.
Because
we can't decide, we can't assume that it's going to be over in a couple months.
No, that's like I said, that's the unrealistic thinking with the vaccine. It's going to be in 3 months, everything's going to be back the way it was. And I don't see it that way. I see, you know, people dying less, which is the only thing that we should want, honestly, at this point. And then, you know, we'll rebuild economically. But I was also thinking the other day as I was putting the show together, I think the unsung heroes, in addition to, of course, the front line and nurses and doctors, of course, all the people that are working every day to keep us safe and keep us, you know, in a lifestyle that we're used to, are our pets. Animals. And I thought of this as I'm watching TV, and everybody's, you know, live streaming from their home, and I was watching MSNBC, and I'm watching this very serious discussion, and then I watch the person on the screen smiling. There's a Cocker Spaniel puppy that just wanted her attention. It keeps going back and forth and back and forth and wagging its tail until she couldn't stand it anymore. And the host caught it and said, "What is that beautiful little thing?" And she brought the puppy into the discussion. And I was thinking, people that are on their own, people, then there are so many people that are single, are divorced, or widowed, and they're on their own. I mean, people are going and, you know, surrendering their pets to shelters because they could ill afford them anymore. People who can go out and get a shelter pet, and dog, cat, bird, whatever. I know, and I have to say, I'm pretty centered in all this and have a wonderful relationship, but I have 3 cats and 3 birds that I just adore. And they're the reason to get up. You have to feed them. They might annoy you, but they are a constant source of unconditional love that I tell people, if you could, you know, if you're in an area of food insecurity, then certainly don't get a pet, because I know what the bills could be. And I always laugh with my husband.
Right.
We could have put 2 kids through Harvard with the vet bills we've had over 30 years. So it gets to an area of being compromised. But pets or animals are just such an enormous source of center and zen. I don't think most
they
people
are. They are, and they're unconditional love. I mean, they're not, they're just always available. Their mood and behavior is consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that human behavior isn't. And granted, they'll pick up on our anxieties and that type of thing. But when an animal picks up on your anxiety, it generally just wants one thing, which is more of you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a terrible thing. When when the emotional reserves are feeling a little depleted, giving love to an animal doesn't feel like you're you're letting go of something. It feels like you're getting back, if that makes sense.
Exactly. And, you know, I remember years ago, my mother, who's passed since, was starting to fall into depression. And I would tell her, you know, let me get you a dog. Let me get you. She said, oh, no, I don't. And she started not wanting to go out. She started finding reasons not to even go to the store. She'd have the store delivered to her. So my husband and I went to the ASPCA, which still existed in Brooklyn. And I got her this beautiful chihuahua. We didn't want to get a big dog, but he was like 3 years old at the time. And I knew that he was a sweet dog. He was going to be put down the next day. But he was a loving, everybody loved this dog. He looked like the Taco Bell dog. Remember Taco Bell, the dog?
Yes, I do.
Probably 25 years ago. And he looked just like that. And I knew that she had to get out of the house because she had a responsibility to him. And I always said that was the best thing I could have done because he brought people to her. She became very social. People knew her because of the dog. She would walk around the block. People would ring the bell. And that was the best thing I could have done because it gave her a sense of, I have to get out because I have to get this dog food. I have to walk this dog or the house is going to smell and look very differently. So she had a responsibility to him. And that was one of the best things I could have done.
Yeah, yeah, I love that. It's true, we got a dog at the beginning of COVID, and I have to say, I feel like, you know, we have a pretty, you know, good relationship, good
mm-hmm.
marriage, but I have to tell you, I joke that the dog saved it because because
mm-hmm.
we are together 24/7, and the dog, you know, we already have a cat, but the dog
mm-hmm.
forces my husband to get out and take the dog for a walk. And,
mm-hmm.
And you know, to get out of the house, to move his body, he's not naturally inspired to exercise like I am. And so the dog is forcing him to get outside, to get some fresh
mm-hmm.
air. He's meeting people in the neighborhood. And then at night we walk the dog together. We laugh with other couples who have dogs. And it just adds a lot of conversation and connection. And I always tell him, I said, you know, it's not like the people in the neighborhood. They may not be the people we call up and want to be best friends with, but it feels
mm-hmm.
good to feel connected. And animals connect us.
Oh, they do. Oh, that was the old thing was, if you ever wanted to meet somebody, you'd bring a really cute dog and either men would talk to you or women would talk to you. And that was the best, you know, icebreaker was a really adorable animal. You know, what kind of dog do you have?
We have a Sheltie. We actually, it's funny that you said that about adapting. We tried to adapt and guess what? There were no dogs.
Really? Well, I guess
the
that's
shelters.
Good that people are, yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
no,
I guess people are going.
And also, yeah, it was actually my daughter who tried to adopt, and my daughter was working full-time, and she's young, and it was through these organizations, and they, you know, she had a difficult time with questions like, you know, are you going to be home during the day, and she still works out of the home.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, he's been a great little guy, and he's been a great friend to my kitty. And he's really been such a source of joy. In ways that I never would have imagined. So,
And the cat got along with him immediately. Really?
No, the cat really doesn't like him, but I think the cat likes him more than the cat lets on. The cat just likes to walk around with a disgruntled look all day long and act as if, you know, Bodhi is the worst thing, but yet I find the cat seeking the dog out when the dog isn't in the cat's presence. So, quite a game. It's like a couple, right? It's like a couple.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The funny thing is, it starts off like that, and then in later years, you would never be able to separate them. And that's that. I've always said, at one point, we had three dogs and three cats. At one point, I had a Belgian Shepherd, a miniature poodle, and a Chihuahua. All shelters, all rescues, and the cats were all, you know, strays. And for some reason, we always had luck introducing the next one and the next one and the next one.
Really?
And even with I have two lovebirds and a parakeet and three cats, and there's never been an issue.
Huh.
There's never been an issue. They don't, you know, try to, make the birds uncomfortable in any way. They don't stare them down. They know the inside birds are very different than outside birds, and everybody gets along, and that's always been the beauty.
Well, that's interesting. It's a nice cohesive unit, and that's good. And you probably also learned how to bring them in and bring them together,
yeah.
And that's kind of a special art too, right? So being able to, it's like introducing people to one another, not forcing
exactly.
it, but allowing it kind of thing.
Exactly. And making everybody feel safe. And that's really it. Making all of them feel like their love is not being threatened because of a new person coming in. And that's it. And the circle becomes bigger and everybody loves each other. So, yeah, it's a cute thing. But I'm actually dying to get a dog. But, you know, long term, I'm thinking I'm home now. I might not be home next year. So we'll leave it as is.
Right.
3 and 3 is enough. 3 and 3 is enough, I think.
Right. Dogs are a lot of work, I'll tell you that. So, but we have already been announced that we are virtual till July. And my husband is virtual until July, too. So I've decided at least
really?
My puppy will get to be about a year and a half before, a little bit more reality. So, but, you know,
yeah.
Lori, I was also thinking when you said, just like the coping, like how are we getting through? And I was thinking, it's not just like the reaching out and it's not just the kind of setting a routine and getting up in the morning and blah, blah, blah. The other thing I often think about is I feel like when we least want to do something is when we need to do it the most. So a lot of times I remind myself, because even being an avid exercise person, what I do for exercise now looks very different from what I did for exercise 9 months ago. And, I do more walking than ever. I do, I'm not as hard driving and hardwired as I was. And I've decided that that's okay, that's where I'm at right now. But a lot of times if I sit for too long and I don't start my morning with a routine, the exercise doesn't happen. And so I think it's that still, if work isn't going to create a schedule for us, if work says, well, you have flexibility, as long as you get your work done. Well, for some people, that's great. But for some people, that's like the worst thing that could happen, because we all function well with boundaries, right? We function well when people kind of tell us what to do. We say we don't like it, but actually we do. But we need some type of a schedule. Otherwise, we don't get things done. And we need to remind ourselves, if we say, oh, I really don't want to exercise today, I'm just too tired, that's probably when we need to exercise the most.
Absolutely. You know what I saw on Instagram, and I hope you don't mind me saying this. What did your husband say something about your arms? And you said, how dare he insult my guns? What was that? Was it like last month? And I said, where are his glasses? Why is he making, what is he talking about? And then you stepped up and you had the before and after. So what was he talking about?
Oh, that's so funny. Well, you know, it's funny because I said, I used to, I always tell women that if I always tell women when they pick apart their body, I always say, what I want you to do is focus on, when you look in the mirror, what do you love about yourself? Like everybody has something they love. And I always used to say that I liked my arms, that I always, I used to work on my arms a lot, and I used to do a lot more weight training. And we were on a little trip to the beach, and I said something like, man, my arms just aren't what they used to be. And he made the mistake of agreeing with me, which he should have never done.
What was he drinking at the time?
Right. So I didn't say anything at the time, but I that's why I wrote on Instagram, and I said, probably one of the best things to motivate me is for somebody to tell me they see what I see.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes we actually need that. Sometimes we actually need for people to be honest. And if we say, I don't feel like my arms are what they used to be, and if somebody can gently say whatever they might, I don't know, but it depends on how we're wired. For me, I'm wired that if somebody tells me they see what I see, then it's game mm-hmm. on, then I'm more inspired mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. get back to who I know myself to be, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. And what did you have to do? Did you have to do anything really different? Yeah, I looked at that. I was like, wow, that's okay. Good. I'm sure it wasn't a quiet house after that. But what did you have to get back to? What did you have to do? It probably wasn't that long. We had to get your arms looking the way you want them to.
No, I think it was just, you know, when COVID hit and the gym shut down, one of the things that I like to do is teach group fitness. And mm-hmm. it kept me scheduled in my routine. So if I knew that I taught, say, 5 group fitness classes a week, then I knew that I only had, say, Monday to run. And maybe I had Thursday to do kettlebells. And my schedule was very, because I mm-hmm. never pushed myself to do too much. I need my body to have time for recovery. And when the gym shut down and I wasn't teaching anymore, I didn't have that
mm-hmm.
schedule
yeah.
of how I was going to yeah. do fitness. And I'm so used to right. being motivated in large groups. So I started walking a lot more, which felt wonderful. And, but I realized that I had kind of stopped weight training, that I taught a lot
yeah.
of weight training classes and I wasn't teaching those. And I'm not super inspired to do weight training unless I'm in a big group of funny men and women who love to sweat with me.
Really?
And
yeah, yeah.
So I sort of let go of that. And then I had to realize that, especially as a woman, you know, in her 50s, I need to weight
mm-hmm.
train. I need to do strength
yeah.
training. I need
yep.
to keep,
yeah.
you know, I need to work on bone density. And
mm-hmm.
so I had to just kind of revisit it, pick up the kettlebells again and say, you can't move so far away from this. And it just reminded me
yeah.
that we can't just do one thing. Walking feels
no.
good, but we can't just walk.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, my sister-in-law had said, well, you know, because she's trying to, and I always say, get rid of the scale. Just, you know, mirror will tell you exactly what you need to know. Don't worry about scale is body weight, not body composition. And she goes, well, you know, my exercise is walking. I said, well, honey, that's adjunctive. It's great, but it's not, I can't really say it's go to the gym, do some walking. Isn't necessarily. And she said, you know, something, I went to the doctor said the same thing. It's not exercise, you know, and it's also, you know, dietary change and lifestyle change and, you know, all the stuff that we've spoken
right.
about for years, you know, before
right.
you go, because we're talking about puppies, we're talking about everything else. What are your Zen tips for the new year?
Well, I actually made a list. Can I share some with you?
I want you to, because I'm going to veer off to something else. So just do it.
Okay. So I think that, first of all, just from the holidays on through, is the first thing is
mm-hmm.
just acknowledging our feelings and remembering that it's okay to cry, it's okay to be sad, like we said at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Give yourself permission to feel what you feel, and don't shame yourself for it, right? It just give yourself
mm-hmm.
permission, but then find a way. My second tip then is find a way to share your story. So you know you feel this way, you know you're not in a great place. So try
yeah.
not to do it alone. You know, allow yourself to be vulnerable. Don't try to suppress those emotions because they're going to get stronger. Then my third one is, you know, be realistic, be careful with the shoulds. And I kind of mentioned that, you know, there is no way that this year should look. The only thing I can say for sure is that I don't think we should plan on there being a panacea for the year to come, that everything's going to miraculously
mm-hmm.
get better. And
mm-hmm.
then my fourth tip is, and this is kind of odd. You might think, I wonder why she's mentioning this, but I think better if we embrace who people are, not who we want them to be. So now,
mm-hmm.
you know, sometimes it goes
mm-hmm.
back to what you said. We don't see the world as it is. We see it as we are.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're moving through these times and somebody is snippy or somebody is reflecting bad emotion to you, we have to remember that people are where they are, and it's not necessarily
mm-hmm.
a reflection of us. It's a reflection on them.
Mm-hmm.
And so just
exactly.
let people be who they are. It's like I always visualize a table between me and the person who's speaking to me. If somebody puts something down on the table and it doesn't serve me and I know that it's not a reflection on me, then I need to leave it on the table, leave it with the person it belongs to, and I need to be able to
mm.
walk away.
I like that. Mm. Yes.
And then I think the last one is just remember that if only just for now. So sometimes I do that thing like where I'm running and I'll say just 5 more minutes. And then I'll say, okay, just 5 more minutes. Okay, just 5 more minutes. So how about if only just for now, if only just for today, we're going to try to set a schedule, or if only just for today, we're going to try to eat well. And then tomorrow we'll set a new intention. But just remembering that we got through COVID by taking this one day at a time. So really that's kind of how we get through life, right? It's not that we don't need a big plan, but we do have to have the ability just to kind of manage it on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
What do you think?
You know, and you know what? It's still that 12-step one day at a time thing that makes so much sense universally. It's just, you know, get through today, tomorrow's another one, and even if today, and it was, I think the last, one of Scarlett O'Hara's lines in Gone with the Wind, tomorrow is another day. And again, it wasn't meant to be in step with the 12-step, but it is. Okay, even if today was the worst and you had certain things that you didn't own up to emotionally, you had fights, but tomorrow's another day. And that's why I always think, you know, people save it up for New Year's, New Year's Eve. It's going to be better. It's going to be a better year. Do that in a small scale and just like, okay, today is over. Tomorrow is another day. You start fresh, clean slate. And that's it. And it takes a lot of pressure off.
Yeah, it does. It's about positive control for today. What can I do today to make a difference? What can I do today to feel empowered?
Yeah. I think that's it. And can you, is there any way you could give me all of this? Because I want to post it on our Facebook page tomorrow, because this is, what's nice about it is it's realistic. It's something that everybody could do, you know, in however they do it, however they're inclined to do it. And I love when you said, I love that somebody putting a plate in front of you and you choosing not to take, that's how I try to live my life. It's like, it's any shortcoming I have with somebody else, or any time I feel I'm not connecting with somebody, or I don't necessarily like my own triggers, my own shortcomings, my own insecurities, my own wiring. And so I always try to say, you know what, had nothing to do with them. It's really all about us. It's really all about us.
No, we're the only person we have any, you know, ability to, we're the only person we have control over. So trying to change another person is just a futile, and really, who are we trying to change them to be? Somebody who makes us more comfortable, but that's not people's role in this world, right? People's
that's
role
exactly
is to be
right.
who they are.
That's exactly right. You know, I had a friend who, when she would date somebody, she would never tell people what she liked in a person. She wouldn't tell them, oh, I hated my ex-boyfriend. She would never say it because she never wanted somebody to change because of her, to suit her needs. She wants to see if the person was coming fully formed to be the person that she needed in her life, as opposed to, you know, somebody who's like, well, you know, I'm going to augment this, and I'm going to take this away, and I'm going to try to meet her where she wants a partner. And that's always the wrong thing. So she did the right thing.
Yeah, well, it's true, because, I mean, sometimes when we do, if at the end of the day, there are people out there who don't have our best interests at heart. And sometimes if someone hears, if a gentleman hears that this is what you want, they might give you what you want to bring you into the relationship, but it may not be who they authentically are. And you may be duped. So
yeah, exactly.
In the
at
end,
least,
right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Right.
So before you leave,
be
my love,
that.
And it's always a pleasure having you on the show, give a last-minute shout-out to website, anything else you're doing, blog, and then, of course, send it to me offline so I could post it tomorrow on our Facebook page.
All right, absolutely. So my website, AngieMillerFitness.com, and my Instagram is AngieMillerFitness, and Facebook, I have a business page that's AngieMillerFit. And actually, I do a weekly podcast for a company called National Academy of Sports Medicine, and I did one recently on this very topic, and we talked about ways to kind of get yourself through the holidays. And I fitness videos on my website, and I do a lot with emotional health and wellness. I'm a mental health therapist by day, so I actually do a lot of topics that combine feeling emotionally healthy with feeling physically healthy, just basically how to get healthy inside and out. So I actually have some things coming down the pipe, Lori, but I can't say too much now because it's a work in progress, some programming that I'm working on. But definitely if I'm on talking to you in the future, then maybe I'll have more that I can share about that to lead people there.
Well, you know you will be. So now I don't have to strong arm you into being on the show again. Of course you will be, definitely in the new year. And then assuming it's time appropriate, you could obviously share that with everybody else. But thank you again, darling, for being on the show. Health and happiness. I mean, health is all we could wish each other in the new year, but everything wonderful to you and your family, sweetie. Thank you for always being a wonderful guest and coming on with just wonderful information to impart.
Well, you know what? Thank you for having me, and thank you for sharing me with your lovely friends that are out there. And even though we can't see them, I feel like you, as a person, draw in the types of people that I would want to speak to. And so I really appreciate you giving me this space and sharing your wisdom and insight. So thanks so much. I hope everybody has a wonderful holiday and that you just give yourself permission to move through it the best way that you can.
Thank you, darling. And you'll be on again in the new year. Angie Miller, thank you for joining us. Health and happiness. Oh, and she's wonderful. And she's always wonderful when she's on the show with us. And, you know, it's funny because I'm talking to her. And you know, we're veering off to puppies and this and that. And that's a wonderful conversation when you could just feel that relaxed with somebody. And you know what? I always think with information like that, it can't be too clinical. It can't be. It has to be softened in some way so it becomes a natural part of a dialogue. And people digest it so much easier that way. So Angie Miller, I think this is, I think this is her fourth time on the show. We actually came on Tammy Lee Webb, I have to say, is a woman without ego. She brings all these wonderful people to my attention, and she brought Angie to my attention, and we spoke, I think, for the first time, I think it was in July, and then we've had her on the show since, and she's just been a wonderful addition and knows this stuff inside out. So we thank her for being on the show, and I want to give a shout-out to a place that actually my honey and his aunt went to, I think it was 2 weeks ago, O. Henry's Public House out in Staten Island. And let me tell you something, if anybody is out there, and look, if you can't go, and my husband is always saying, we got to go to England, we got to go to Europe, da da da. If you ever want to go to a really, really cool, this is the place, O. Henry's Public House. It's just, when I tell you, I had fish and chips, and it was just amazing. Our aunt had, I think she had portobello burger. I think John had I think he had turkey roll or something like that, something with turkey because he doesn't eat meat. But this place is just the sexiest. The drinks were wonderful. The decor was just amazing. And, you know, as much as you don't want to be, you know, I love a place that's throbbing and full of people. It was nice that it was a little quiet because we got to sit with the lovely Lisa McFarlane, who was just wonderful. She sat at our table. We were talking to her. We were talking about the artwork there. We were talking about everything. And it was just a wonderful, wonderful Saturday afternoon that we had. So O. Henry's Public House. And you know what? If you are looking to order for Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve, in general, if you are having one of those between holiday parties, which a lot of people are having, but keep it nice and socially distant, keep it the family, keep it no more than, I think, what is the number now, 6 people, and then it has to be your immediate family. The menu is so reasonable and so to die for, and I just urge you, to check them out. And the number is, I can do this without glasses, I think, 718-442-6200. And they are just amazing. And like I said, the food is to die for. We were there, I think, 3 hours. That's how much fun we were having. And the interesting part was, I'm sitting with Lisa, and you know how it is with families. My husband and his aunt having a political discussion. That was getting a little bit more back and forth, and a little bit more heated. And I'm looking at Lisa and saying, it's love at this table. It's real love. She's just looking at me, looking at them. But it was just a really, really, really nice afternoon. And their website is ohenryspub.com. So definitely look into them, and they just do wonderful things. And I think they're open now Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays, but I think takeout is 7 days. So try to find out where they are as far as getting takeout for the holidays and so on and so forth, because now it's kind of we're the day before. So definitely check them out. Next week's show, if you've heard of Mindy Franken, she's just wonderful. She is head of the Smile Revolution. I know her for a few years now. And when we lived upstate in Woodstock, she lived in Woodstock at the time, we lived upstate, and our paths just kept missing each other. My husband and I had a group that we worked with Pete Seeger. Played in Woodstock, played in Beacon, played all over the Hudson Valley. And we always just missed each other until I was back in Brooklyn and our paths crossed. And she's going to be on the show next week. And she just has her Smile Revolution on live stream on Wednesdays and Fridays on Facebook. And she is just wonderful. And she started this Smile Revolution about 15 years ago, but she's been going live stream since the pandemic. And I believe at first it was like every 3 days a week. And she's been just trying to make people smile when there's no reason to smile. And she's actually got a product line out. She's got mugs with smile sayings on. She's coming out with masks for the Smile Revolution. And my take on it is, you know, as far as the cups are concerned, they're wonderfully decorated. And all these vivid colors, but I always say, if you want a mug to put a smile on yours, that's what she's got. And she's going to be on next week talking to us about all of that. And also, Pamela Silvestri, good friend of the show, who is my version of, you know, FDR's Fireside Chat in Staten Island, where all the insult to restaurants has been since March 16th. She's got a show now called The Dish, and it's on Staten Island Live Facebook page every Wednesday at 9 o'clock. And she also does her own show every day from Monday to Friday, Pamela Silvestri, on her own Facebook page. So she's pretty much on the air 5 days a week, actually 6 days a week. No, 5 days a week. She doesn't have her live stream the day she has The Dish. But I implore you to certainly check her out and the wonderful things she's doing. And if you're a foodie, you know, whether you're in Staten Island, Brooklyn, Manhattan, Jersey, a foodie is a foodie is a foodie. You'll definitely enjoy her show. And I think that's it for us. So I'm wishing everybody all the best for the holiday season. Those celebrating Christmas, certainly have a happy and healthy, and we'll be back next week, just one day before we usher this year out. So everybody stay well, stay safe, keep the masks on, keep washing the hands, keep the soap in the house, and just be good to each other. And the one thing that I always say, my favorite quote from Mother Teresa is, if we have no peace because we've forgotten we belong to each other. So keep that in mind when emotions escalate, when you think somebody's different than you, when you're on a different, you know, political side. Keep that in mind. Keep the temperature down and let's just try to go into the new year and the holiday season as one. And I'm going to ask the lovely Nina Simone, may her soul rest in peace, take us out. Take care, everybody. Happy holidays.